like losing control. I get high when I'm feeling my flow. My mind is focused and I'm ready to go. Ready to go. Nah, I like losing control.
I love the dances. I don't know if you like hit like a robot or that was the karate chop, but I fucking lost it.
I don't know what that was, honestly.
Oh my god, everybody, welcome back. Dark Side Adventures. We're just having too much fun today. Oh man, we are your hosts, of course. I am Edwin.
And I'm Coco.
Oh man, and welcome back to Dark Side Adventures, your escape.
I always wait for you to finish that. And I'm like, maybe I should finish it.
Well, I mean, you could say, you know, escape into your, you know, world of kink and sexual exploration, and I already lost the motto, but your escape is just like
kink fetishes in the BDSM lifestyle.
All of the above. All of the above. Oh my god, like it feels like we haven't been on here in a while. I mean, we
haven't been recording for a little while.
It's fine. It's things go smoothly. You crank out a bunch of content and then life punches you in the face again.
It does. Mm-hmm. The last one that went out is what, Whips?
Yeah, and then the Dark Side Adventures, I guess, meetup. Even though it's not really a meetup, but it's a meetup. It's a meetup.
In-person recording.
Yeah, it's coming soon, guys. So y'all have something to look forward to.
That'll be interesting. I still have to figure out how to optimally record for that.
It's all optimal. It's okay. It just one microphone, and as long as it doesn't sound like, you know, two squirrels talking, we'll be all right. Well, I guess we can just kind of like jump right into this one.
Yeah.
Everybody's, I would say everybody's favorite swinging object. You know, every time you see it, everybody gets a little excited, like, oh my god, I've never seen one. And speaking of this, Miss Coco over here just got one.
Well, Starbucks guy just got one.
Oh, sure.
I've been sitting here playing with it. So, because surprise, I'm at his house. But he's just got a red and black one. He has been buying a bunch of toys, and with the theme of red and black, because those are his colors.
Mm, I dig it. The same.
Yeah, it smells like delicious leather.
Mm-hmm. This is brand new.
It is brand new. I just keep running my fingers through it. That's all.
You want to tell him what it is?
Yes, it is. I guess I hadn't even said the word yet.
No, it's nice because you kind of stuck it in there a little bit.
So it is floggers. Mm-hmm. Well, he has a flogger, but we're talking about floggers.
Yeah, I feel like it's everybody. Well, I wouldn't say it's everybody, but once you see it, it's kind of like I would say it kind of embodies the kink spirit a little bit. Like when you see it, you automatically think of kink. Mm-hmm. You know, it's bad. Now I look at Home Depot and I just think it's a store. Come to find out, it's the biggest play dungeon you can possibly get. But
I was telling Starbucks guy that the other day.
Oh man, yeah, Home Depot changed my mind. But no floggers. Like I remember the first time, like I actually like. Maybe we should probably define a flogger first before I start talking about my first time seeing a flogger.
Yes. So what is a flogger? It's an impact implement. You've got a handle.
Yep.
And then the handle can be a bunch of different things. Most of them are like an actual handle type thing. Mm-hmm. And then, but I've seen them with like an insertable, like a dildo or an anal insertion. I've seen it with just a ball. I've seen it with just a strap. It's called a knuckle one.
Yep.
So it has some sort of handle for you to hold it and throw them. And then it has multiple, they're called falls or tails. They kind of look, depending on how thick they are, they kind of look like strings. The one I'm holding in my hand currently playing with, the falls are like smaller than my pinky, but there's probably 40 or 50 of them.
Give you a nice little sting if you swing hard enough.
Yes, okay. This one's definitely more thuddy. The sting will happen with the very tips of it, mm-hmm. but it's not it's not a super sting. It's not like a cane or a crop or a whip even. It's much, this version is much thuddier. You can get floggers that are just for sting. Example, a horsehair flogger
or a
rubber flogger. The one in my hand is leather and suede. And it just smells delicious.
You know, looking at that one, it really does look like it would be kind of like stingy, but it doesn't have like the whisk or the whisk look. I actually gotta get Sugar Pants on here too. Shout out Sugar Pants. Shout out Sugar Pants. Whenever like I met up with her at one of the small events, she had like it was like a unicorn flogger, but or it was like a unicorn, like the unicorn horn for the handle. Mm-hmm. And then on the end, it was like, it looked like little horse hairs, but they were like kind of clear. And like, it was like, it was interesting. And then like, of course, you know, I tried to, what I like to call Bruce Lee it, you know, you got to give it a little look, make it look like nunchucks.
Yes.
It didn't go so well. It hurt.
I've played with horsehair floggers before. They are very stingy.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was like that, but it was nice being able to like at least like tell a difference. So, but I've had my weird, like, now being in kink for like, you know, well over a couple of years, I've definitely seen some wild floggers, but I'll give more examples later.
Yes, there's interesting floggers. You can do some crazy things with floggers.
So since you just bought a flogger, mm-hmm. I guess I mean this is kind of in there. It was kind of naturally in there in the notes, but like what to look for to buy floggers, because I remember we sat, what was it, like 2 weeks ago, and we were just kind of like looking through like stuff to buy, and we saw like the flogger page.
Yes.
So like things to look for, I guess, you know, if, in case we were trying to get a flogger. I mean, for me personally, it's the handle. Like if I already have like naturally like sweaty palms, I can't imagine like watching like an implement just literally fly through my hands, you know, because it's either like, you know, too slippery or whatever it is. But
So I think, I think the first two things you need to decide basically for any implement are your price range.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And you have to decide if you're going with a theme for your colors for your toy, like a color theme for your toys, or if you just want the prettiest one that catches your eye. For Starbucks guy here, he wants specific colors. For me, I want whatever catches my eye, because those will narrow down what you can get. And then from there, you can narrow it down from, do you want a thuddy flogger? Do you want a stingy flogger? A website I really like, and it's actually where he bought his flogger, is Flog Me Baby. We'll put it in the link, and I'll put it in the show notes down below in the description.
It's worth it. It's awesome.
It is. And they have a scale on their floggers. It's just kind of like a sliding scale that'll tell you if it's more thuddy, if it's more stingy, if it's kind of in the middle. And so that will help you, especially as a beginner, try to figure out what you want.
It's kind of weird how people actually like buy their floggers. For me, it's like mine may not look the best, but it feels right to me. You know what I mean? It's that type of thing. So you know, buy what's best for you, I guess, would be the first start. Now, as far as like, I guess what I like my flogger to be made out of, I mean, leather is one, but I've seen too many examples of completely different ones. I've seen simple floggers with like a little chair handle. And just some like falls from some fabric. I was like, how did you even make this? Like, it looks like some DIY stuff, but they were like, it works. So I was like, he was surprised. So
I've seen all sorts. I think one of the coolest ones I saw, it's not one I ever want to play with, but it was super cool. They made it out of, so the Dom who made it, it was a DIY, is a computer guy. He took a bunch of I don't remember what kind of, but it was like some sort of computer wire.
Is it the Cat5 cable?
Maybe it might be. I don't remember. It's been a minute since I've seen it. I just remember going, what the fuck? That is cool. But like I said, I wouldn't ever play with it. But yeah, it was a bunch of those. And then he had like braided it at the end and then taped it and put a like a loop so he could have it on his wrist, because it was that is something you have to think about. It does get kind of slick. So yeah, it was cool. Again, not something I ever want to try, but it was super cool. I've also seen, like I said, I've seen horsehair. I've seen Flog Me Baby has one that the falls are rosebuds.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen leather. I've seen suede, rubber.
Chains.
Yep. That one happens a lot. What else have I seen? Like PVC. I've seen fur.
It's
more soft and sensual. I've seen different kinds of cords. I've seen rope. I've seen what's it called? The little one we don't tie with.
Which one? There's a lot of them we don't tie with.
It's a little rope that we don't tie with. Yep, paracord. That word.
Paracord, yeah.
I've seen paracord ones. I've seen them with knots on the end. I've seen them with knots throughout. I've seen them just straight. I've seen so many different kinds of like material, let alone like the handles. Like I said, there's one, they're called knuckle dusters. What are they called? But it's basically, it's a knuckle flogger. It's got just a little loop on the end.
Mm-hmm.
And you slide some fingers through it, and you just use your fingers rather than holding it in your hand.
I mean, I don't really know which one you get better grip at. It's just, for me, I guess whichever one gets tired first, either your hand or your knuckles, you know?
Yeah, and some people like different things. I've seen it with like a ball on the end. I've seen it with like a swivel on the end, so you can do like a figure and a continuous one easier.
The interconnecting ones, like it's like double loop on the end, and then you actually get the falls to the handle.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the swivel one. It just looks a little different.
Yeah. Like I said, you can have some sort of insertable as the handle. Not everything is insertable. Just think about what can and cannot be sanitized well.
For me, it's just grip. Like, that's the biggest thing. I mean, the falls will do its own thing, but like if I'm constantly swinging this implement, this shit's literally flying everywhere. I can't have that. So,
mm-hmm.
How long is, or I guess a normal handle size for me, or I guess they would say is what, forearm per se?
Yeah. Yeah. So you want your handle. So it depends. If you want a balanced flogger, which means that, so a balanced flogger is easier to throw, especially as a beginner, mm-hmm. because it plays with your centrifugal force. Thank you.
Centrifugal force, yeah. Force in the middle.
Yes. So that means that like as you're throwing the flogger, I couldn't remember the word there. I was like the weapon. Okay. As you're throwing the flogger, the falls, the tails, they pull less, they have less force against them. Again, it's the whole putting your hand out the window and spreading your fingers versus having it closed,
mm-hmm.
kind of like that. So it gives you, so if it's balanced, it lets the top conserve some energy so they can go longer, and it's a little bit more accurate. And it's just, there's times and places to have an unbalanced one. There's nothing wrong with it, but a balanced one is just easier to throw. It's nicer, in my opinion, for most things all around.
Mm-hmm. I mean, same here. Well, average size to me is kind of weird. I'm a little too fancy sometimes. I feel like all my stuff is too custom, but I'm just a short person, so it's just one of those things. So like
custom, it's got to work for you.
Yeah, I mean, like handles for me, like 6 to 9 inches, like anywhere between that, at least like so I can get my hand in there and nice good grip. I would say 6 to 9 inches.
About forearm.
About a forearm. Because I mean, if you like, even like, I guess look at a shoe and you see like a size 12 or something, like, you know, that's pretty big. Are you counting?
About 8 knuckles, so about 8 inches.
Yeah, about 8 inches. So 6 to 9 inches is usually a good look. Yeah, but the falls are usually a little bit longer, of course. They are. But as long as
fingertip to elbow.
as long as it feels balanced to you, I mean, that's the biggest thing. Obviously, like, some ends are going to hang on, you know, more than others. Like, you have might have a little bit more fall than handle, or you might have a little bit more handle than fall, but it just try and of course, like, have as much control as you possibly can on, you know, for either one. But yeah, just figuring out what works for you could take a little bit. I mean, for me, I didn't even know what a flogger was, and then I tried like 4 or 5 floggers in the time that like I learned how to use one. I was like, oh, this one kind of makes sense. So but I mean, I guess the amount of falls makes the difference as well then.
It does. So the more falls, the softer falls, the heavier falls are going to cause more thud. It's going to be more I guess it's all rhythmic, but it's going to be more of a rhythmic massage rather than stingy. Whereas like thinner falls, stiffer falls, like rubber or again, the horsehair, that's so thin, it's gonna be stingy. The horsehair one, it reminds me of a sunburn. Really fun, but it reminds me of a sunburn. That's the feeling I get.
Which is an odd feeling, sunburns.
Yeah. So a horsehair flogger is stingy, absolutely, but it's not, I mean, every implement is going to cause its own type of sting. So like a cane is very, it's like one broad strike, very harsh, very stingy. Whereas like a horsetail flogger, it's a lot of little ones. It's a lot of little pricklies, which are still sharp, but it's not like one straight across. I don't know if that explains it very well.
No, I mean, well, it makes sense to me. But yeah. That's just because I'm used to it before. But, going over the notes here, we kind of counted on the balanced flogger already, you know, just kind of making sure it fits on both sides, either one for you.
Yeah. And if you find that you prefer to throw an unbalanced flogger, great. Go for it. But find, like Edwin was saying, find what works for you.
Yeah, no, seriously. All right, I guess like do's and don'ts.
Do's and don'ts.
Do's. I know I'm actually going to throw this one in before we even like start this one. Do's. I got to be careful how I word this because I can't say health. I'm going to say flexibility. Because when you start throwing things like this, it's a transfer of energy. It's a workout. It is a workout. You can't just pick this stuff up and start throwing like you're God or anything. You will throw out something. You will pull something. I will guarantee that. Mm-hmm. So do's first. I'd probably say first learn how to throw your implement a little bit, like practice on like a teddy bear, of course. Or I guess it kind of leads to the other one. Practice, but don't forget to actually like stretch. Do everything you need to do beforehand, and then you start, then you start doing the deed.
Listen to your body when it tells you it's enough. Mm-hmm. It's enough, which I know is hard when you've hit kind of your stride and your top space, because you're like, yeah, I can do this forever. But you also have to listen to your body and how it works. We'll go a little more into how to throw a flogger.
Yeah, later.
But yeah, definitely practice it. Definitely know your body. When you do throw the flogger, you want to try to land tips first and then let the others kind of, I guess, in a way, rock down. If not all at once, because that will help you avoid wrapping. And we've talked about wrapping. It is not good when you're not intentionally doing it. It catches and it hurts and it causes those tips to wrap, to like snap even harder. It gives them more energy. And it makes it sharper and more painful.
I feel like everybody's experienced rap at some point. Well,
yes.
Well, bottom, maybe actually some tops. We at one point, like small side story, I was with some kink friends. I was with JDO and LDQ, I guess at this point. I was with another bottom as well, and we were kind of playing, it was just like some kink games. So it was like, obviously, like you close your eyes and you gotta tell like who hit you with what, Like, and let's just
simple
say,
thinking.
Yeah, so let's just say, like, I got wrapped once around the hip, and I was like, I see why bottoms always say, like, I can't do rapping. I see why they always say, look out for rapping, because that thing, like, out of all the hits that I had gotten, that was the one that lasted for, like, 2 days. So I was like, why does this shit still hurt? Like, it's terrible. So
yeah,
I can only imagine with that. Rapping, so yeah, please avoid rapping. It's not good.
Yeah, there's times when you can intentionally wrap, such as I've seen a longer whip wrapped and it like wraps the person a couple of times and then snaps in the right spot. But that is something that has to be done intentionally. It is not something whereas like, oh, I flogged a little too far over and it accidentally wrapped around your hip. Because in this instance, the worst words is, oops, I didn't mean to hit there.
Those words shouldn't come out anyway. But yeah. You should be doing like it right.
Oops is not good from the top. As you're starting with floggers, a lighter flogger is going to be easier just because it's not going to tire out your arm as much. Avoid some of the embellishments like knots and braids and kind of like that. Again, it'll be easier for you as the top throw. It'll be easier as a new bottom to handle. And the knots and braids just kind of change how, not really how you throw, but it changes the feel of the throw. So
I guess this one would still kind of go under the technique, but of course, like, you know, stopping the flogger after it hits or pulling it backwards in the snapping motion before it hits, it's almost, I wouldn't even call it like cracking a whip, but it definitely helps with the impact.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything else. So that's the one thing you want to watch for. So if you throw too many falls at one time, it's gonna feel like somebody threw a shoe at you.
Yeah.
But if you go too many tips, it's just gonna feel like a nice, like, I guess you want to call it like a sunburn. Best way to put it. So there is a technique that whenever it hits you, you definitely do know.
I was just gonna agree with that, because it's kind of like a glancing thing. You can do it where, because you don't, for most implements, unlike throwing a punch or kicking a soccer ball, you're not going to punch through or kick through. It's kind of more of a glancing type impact, because there's bones in your body and you don't want to hit bones. That's a bad kind of ouchie.
Mm-hmm.
So pulling it back a little bit, or even like in a snapping motion, or like stopping the impact as soon as it lands is gonna help. Like stopping the motion of the impact of your body is going to help. Not hit bones and not be bad. You also want to just make sure that you are throwing the flogger fast enough that the falls don't splay out and land all skiddly wampus. You want it to land pretty much, although there's lots of them, you want them to land pretty much in a straight line.
So. Mm-hmm. And of course, like we always say, I'll add this one in the do's as well for under the safety as well. Just check your implement before you start with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want any falls flying out there while you're in the middle of a scene or anything. So, exactly. or the handle flying off or breaking.
Give it a gentle tug. Make sure nothing's kind of falling apart. If it is, don't play with it on a person. Try it on something else to make sure that's going to go okay.
You know, teddy bear.
Yep. Teddy bear. Pillows. I really like the suede pillows because it'll show you exactly where you hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see a little line right there. Yeah.
Exactly. And do have fun.
Lots of it,
definitely.
I guess we can go into don'ts. I mean, we gave you a bunch of do's. How about some don'ts? So should I take my flogger? I should cock that bad boy back and just swing with all my might, looking like Thor's hammer?
Absolutely onto a pillow.
that's a no.
definitely a don't. Do not go full force. Shout out the gate. Actually, we went to a class the other day about impact, and I actually got a really good tip about warm-ups. Mm-hmm. So because you want to make sure your bottom is warmed up. One way to tell, because what a warm-up is bringing all of the blood to the surface of the body. You know, the buttocks is normally where we're throwing, or is where we're impacting. And a good way to tell how warmed up they are is to take the back of your fingernail and run it up their skin and see how fast it changes from white to red. because that's all the blood coming back. Just like it's called, you can do it on your finger too. It's called a capillary refill. So take your finger, squeeze the nail, and as you let go, it'll change colors. Mm. And the faster the color changes back to from like white to pink, is how fast your capillary refill is. That's how fast the blood comes back to that area. Yes, it's a little bit harder on someone of a darker skin tone, but it is possible. You also want to know like how warm is their bottom all the way around? Is it kind of an even warmth? Because that'll help. A good warm-up can last anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes, if not longer. Depends on your bottom. But that's a good way to check to see if your bottom is warmed up. And then even then, you still want to build up in like a crescendo for your impact and your fogging and your intensity.
Everything's stepping stones. So you gotta take it slow. Can't just jump out the gate. But I guess this one is, we were kind of talking about it earlier as far as like getting something that fits for you or balance, but just don't get a long flogger that's too like difficult to control. Mm-hmm. But like a small, like funny story. I kind of wish it had worked. It might work, but it definitely won't. But anyway, one of my buddies, they had made a flogger. Him and his lady at the time. And anyway, they ended up calling the thing like Maleficent. It was like black. It had like long, like, I don't know. The thing was like literally huge. Like if I put it next to my body, that shit was like damn near like 3 feet.
Yeah.
Like a 3 foot long, like just flogger with handle and tail. And he was like, you want to try it? I was like, is it okay to swing? He's like, yeah. He's like, I've tested it a couple times. I picked this thing up and it like, floggers obviously like you get with like one hand.
Mm-hmm.
When you have to use two hands,
yeah.
Anyway, it was a little, my point to be proven here, it was a little too difficult to control. Like it was fun to look at and fun to play with, but it's definitely not used for regular
impact. It was not practical.
I could only imagine like had I have actually like tried to like hit somebody with that, which I did, but I like after that, actually doing like a scene or somebody with that thing, there is nothing safe about that. I can promise you that.
Exactly. You got to think about that. You got to think about, is it something you can control? And in that case, no, you can't. Some other things you want to think about as the top when you're throwing, obviously avoid kidney and spine and neck, and be careful around the shoulders, especially because they're wrapping around the neck. Avoid the tailbone, but also like you don't want to lean forward. You don't want to twist your body. It's not turning your wrists or reaching with your shoulders as you throw your cut. That will all hurt you. That will make you more sore than you need to be. That can cause you to throw at your back. That can cause your aim to be awful. It's not great to do those kinds of things.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I guess we should kind of tell them what it's types of floggers, as well as I guess the materials that they're made out of.
Yep.
So I guess we kind of just go down the list. Oh, okay. I was like, we can go down the whole list if we want.
Yeah, let's just read the list off really quick. Because like I said, I've kind of mentioned a couple of them, but let's give you some names so you can go look them up as well. So we have marionette. Mm-hmm. We have ball handle. We have balanced. We have knotted and braided. A swivel handle.
Nunchucks. No, I'm just kidding.
A pulley handle, which is, if anyone has ever seen like fire thrower spin, that's pulley.
Mm-hmm.
Or po.
Poi.
It's poi.
Poi.
I always look at it and say po, but I know it's poi. And then I second guess myself when I say it right. And then a cat of nine tails is actually a flogger type.
I'll go ahead and say probably the ones you'll see the most is going to be the balance, the cat of nine tails. And I'm going to say the marionette as well. Those probably be the top three you'll see more than anything else. If you see somebody with like a ball handle, it's usually like more like specific.
Yeah, it means they really like their flogging.
Yeah, really.
Those
do
are fun to play with though. They're fun to throw. And then some materials, like we mentioned, you can get them in rubber, leather, and faux leather, PVC, nylon. PVC? Yeah, That bitch stings.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Like, oh, God.
Yeah. I had one hit with it. I was not warmed up, but I had one strike with it, and I went, ow, I'm gone now. So nylon, rope, horsehair, chain, fur, cord, suede. Those are typically like the ones you'll see the most. Obviously, you don't see PVC here. I say obviously. Edwin would know that obviously you don't see PVC very often. But you'll see leather and faux leather. You'll see rope. Horsehair is kind of common. Depends on... Horsehair is kind of common. We'll just leave it at that. Fur I see pretty often. I've seen paracord pretty often. Some rope. So I've seen suede really often. Those are the ones I think you'll see the most.
Yeah, suede is a guarantee. In my opinion. Yep. But I think the ones that I see the most, like just even like normally, is just like, it's just going to be leather.
Yeah.
That's the ones that, you know, it's just kind of like a staple. Now, like usually like the enthusiasts or even just like people that have been in the kink that have, what I like to call like toy collectors. Mm-hmm. You'll see them with a bunch of different ones, but 90% of the time you'll just kind of see the standard, yeah, you know, leather.
Most people will start with leather.
Yeah.
Leather and suede. And then, so I was going to tell you how to flog in my own words, but I found a really great article about it. So I'm going to read a quote, or I'm going to read their section about it, just because it encompasses it better than my words.
Mm-hmm. Shout out House of Design, by the way. That's who the article is from. Just giving y'all props right now.
Yes. So the article is called BDSM 101 Floggers, How to Choose and Use a Flogger. I think you guys should definitely read the article, but I'm going to skip down to the bottom and tell you how to do it. So it says, quote, inexperienced dominants can quickly wear themselves out with so much physical activity. It's no wonder they can only last 10 minutes or so in a scene. Mm-hmm. Proper flogging technique goes beyond just looking good. It is about building endorphin levels for the bottom responsibly enough to stick with it until the deed is truly done. The point of flogging is to strike a specific area of the back repeatedly with accuracy to allow a buildup of endorphins to take place. Then we move to another spot and give it a few flails, and then we move to another. You want to only strike the intended plate, the place you had intended to do this with repeatable accuracy. That's the key right there. Repeatable accuracy. Stand squarely with feet planted firmly on the ground. Stand up erect and proud like a titan, a king or queen, or an Amazon. Raise the arm holding the auger handle regally. It can help to hold the tails of the flogger with the other hand. Gather them into your palm, tugging gently against your other hand. Now gently drop your arm downwards as you release the flails with the other hand. That's all. Just a gentle drop of the arm to check your landing position of the falls. Did they strike where you had intended? If not, move your feet, not your upper body, to adjust. No leaning forward, no turning at the waist, no reaching with your shoulders. Once the landing is affirmed to be correct, continue to stand regal, tall and proud. Raise your flogger. Raise the flogger arm again. Take hold of the tails and let your arm drop again, this time with more speed. Repeat this and marvel at how the flogger lands in the exact same place every time. Do you wish to move the position of the flogger? Do not do so by changing your arm's drop angle. Do not reach with your upper body or twist your upper body or twist your body in any way. Move your feet. Then regain that regal stance of pride and control, of firmness and deity like compassion. Raise the arm up and let it drop gently to test the position. Is the landing position correct? Then raise the arm once again and let it drop with more force this time. If you want to strike with even more force, simply assist the arm's dropping movement with an easy accelerating muscle tension, pushing to make the arm drop even faster. Raise the arm and repeat again. Isn't it remarkable? You're hitting the exact same spot over and over again with accuracy and precision. It should be, and it is nearly effortless. You could easily last 2 hours working your subject in this manner. The reason why trying to flog by reaching, turning the waist, leaning with the shoulders and upper body, or changing the angle of the stroke does not work is that all of these movements are simply too much, even for the miraculous human body to keep track. The amazing brain we have simply cannot keep all of these movements coordinated repeatedly each and every time. Eventually, it will get confused and you will have struck the kidneys or wrapped the shoulders or the side and said the worst thing any Titan, King, Queen, Amazon, or compassionate deity could ever say. A, namely, oops, sorry about that.
Oh, God. I didn't mean to.
Okay. Practice flogging from a standing position, moving only your arms and adjusting the position by moving your feet only. It may feel awkward at first. It takes practice for it to feel natural, but it's worth it. Use a pillow for target practice first, aiming the flogger at specific points. Once you can hit accurately with a minimum of bodily movement, you're ready to try your technique on a willing victim. I'll end it there, but it goes on to talk about how you can do it from the side, and it talks a little bit more about wrapping. I can't give you everything, but this, like I said, House of Dessaunce words is much better than my words could ever happen and ever help to portray on how to flog. I'm like, you just flog with your arm.
Yeah, you just swing.
You just swing. But it's more than that. You definitely want to make sure you're accurate. You don't want to lean. And like I said, our body and our mind are amazing, but it's just too much to be able to repeat that accurately. So yeah, there's that. There's other types of flogging. Like you can do,
Florentine.
Thank you. Mind went out the door.
Techniques.
Yeah. So you can do a Florentine technique, which is, so the technique that I just read is just a straightforward striking, and it's lots of fun. You can also do Florentining with either one or two hands. It's again, you're planting your feet, but it's a figure eight motion. Mm-hmm. And then to do two.
Yeah, so it starts getting confusing.
It gets a little confusing.
You start going one after the other. You can do a figure eight, and then once you start putting the extra swing in there behind it, yeah, it starts to get a little, it's cool to watch.
It's very cool to watch. I learned how to do it just the other day. Shout out Girl Lynx.
Hey, thank you very much. You got to tell her you shouted her out.
Yes. So shout out Girl Lynx for teaching me how to Florentine. It was definitely a spur of the moment thing, like most things I do in kink. Hey, do you want to learn this? Heck yeah, I do.
Oh, while I'm here.
Yes, I typically agree to learning things about kink. So yes, it's a figure eight motion. So you start a figure eight motion with one hand, mm-hmm. and then you start doing a figure eight with the other hand, and it just adds a continuous
beat, twist and turn
to the flogging. Good job knocking your mic.
I'm over here trying to do an example. I guess that kind of, we've touched a lot of the basis and probably even more than that too. About floggers, any like final remarks, any last remarks?
Yes, I will leave some great resources down below. I have a website with a bunch of different videos on flogging techniques. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched all of the videos, but the ones I have, I'm liking a lot. I will also leave the article that I read off of down below, as well as a few links on places to buy floggers. Like I said, I like Flog Me Baby, and I just had somebody tell me about another one. It is called Brutal Passion, and I'll leave links for all of that down below.
I haven't seen that one. I'm be happy to actually see that one too.
Either. So I kind of scrolled it the other day. I like it. So I'll leave those down below, and then give flogging a try. It can be as painful and brutal as you want, and as soft and sensual as you want. It's very versatile, and it's lots of fun.
I can get down with that. I'll even second that to say I think everybody should try flogging. It's like I said, it's one of those like staple weapons that you normally see besides like a paddle in BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you learn a lot, as much as they say, like, you know, you learn a lot between like your relationship between like you and the bottom, or I guess if you're the bottom at the top, but you learn a lot about yourself too. Like throwing these weapons, like you find out your tolerance, which they don't usually talk about top tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also, you know, you get to practice things that you don't normally practice, you know, patience, precision, stuff like that. So yeah, no, take it small. And I would advise everybody to at least like, you know, give it a try at least once. So you know what to expect, or, you know, if you're seeing somebody seen with it, you know what they're going through. So, but yeah, no, that's all I got.
Yeah, I say, I know you said to try it once, but I say try it twice. If you don't like it the first time, find a different top.
Oh, okay.
And then try it again if you're still interested in it. If it absolutely turns you off, I say give it some time and try it again. But sometimes you just don't connect with your top. And
that's okay. We're going to have a show on that.
We are. But that was something else we talked about in the impact class the other day, is that sometimes you just don't connect and you're not meant to play with each other that way. And that's okay. It's okay to have a partner for specific things, or multiple partners for specific things. And it's okay not to enjoy something with a partner. That doesn't mean that that partner is wrong or bad or not meant for you. It just means that
chemistry was off.
Yeah. And that's okay. It's totally okay. That's acceptable.
I really want to say
expected.
I really want to say chemistry is probably the biggest thing for that, or just like biggest thing in BDSM anyway.
Yeah. You know? That emotional and energetic connection.
Yeah.
Plays a big part in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I guess on that note, that basically concludes Floggers for the most part.
Yay.
Oh man. Like, guys, thank you for being with us, especially on this one. I know we've been kind of cranking out Weapons of Mass Destruction, so giving y'all something other than just like normal teaching sometimes. So we're trying to like diversify the content, so it's been going very well. So shout out, you know, shout out Miss Coco over here cranking down on that, on all that editing. I know it starts to probably get a little overwhelming sometimes. So
sometimes, you know, it happens though. That's what happens when we record a million of them at a time.
Yeah, true. And then keep recording and forgetting what we recorded. But I'll plug us.
Yes.
So I used to plug it at this point. Man, everybody, you can find us, of course, all of these episodes. No problem. You can find us on Anchor. That's a guarantee. Spotify, Apple Music. We are also on like all of the, you know, the normal social stuff. So we are on Twitter, of course. We're on Reddit. We are also on, you name it, like Deezer, Pandora,
all of the podcasting sites you can listen to us just about.
All of the podcasting sites. And of course, if you want like a more personal relationship with us, you can actually find us over on Patreon. We will be doing the soon to be face reveal. So y'all definitely don't want to miss that.
Yes.
And our, I guess that's kind of a little bit of everything. So that's like our 1 year show, along with our first reunion show, along with, it's just a lot of things.
It's a big celebration.
It's one big party. So we'll have a few Kingsters in there. I'm sure Pooh will probably make an appearance. And of course, if you have any questions, concerns, or you want to send some articles, you got some issues, hell, like you want to be on the show, you can reach us at ourdarksideadventures@gmail.com. And I guess the only one that I had forgotten was YouTube, but that at this point, that's a standard. So
we're on YouTube and TikTok.
Yep. So you can catch all the episodes over there as well, just in case, you know, something happens with Anchor, but Anchor's usually our go-to place. So, man, like, it's been a hell of a ride. we are your hosts. I'm Edwin.
And I'm Coco.
We'll see you next time on Dark Side Adventures.
Adios.
Bye.